All right, I want to welcome everyone to another episode of the Charity Charge Show. Today, I am honored to have Matt Connolly, the Executive Director, CEO of Good360. Matt, thank you so much for being on the show with us.
Well, Stephen, thank you for having me.
I want to tell you that what is so kind of incredible about this world and why I love getting to learn more and more about the nonprofit space and different organizations is that it was only towards middle of December, I was connecting and I actually had on a podcast, a woman, her name is Lauren Isbell, who runs Nevis Global Outreach. And as we were just chatting more about the industry and Charity Charge's model and just talking about a lot of aspects, she said, "Do you know about Good360? Pulled it up. I said, "What a cool organization." I said, "No, I've never heard of this." And she said, "You've got to talk to them." And so what felt like out of the blue, your team reached out to my team. We're able to schedule this opportunity, but I really feel like it was fate. I wanted to share that. So right before this, Matt, I called Lauren and I said, "You're never going to guess who I'm about to have a podcast with." And she had told me that one of her good friends is on your team. I believe her name is Alex Shaw.
Oh, that great.
Sounds right. And so Lauren said the connection originally was through Arkansas Early Learning, which I think was one of the nonprofit members or organization that Good360 has worked with. So small world, but I wanted to put that connection and give a shout out to Lauren and Alex.
Oh, well, thank you for that, Steve. And I'm going to have to thank them both. And I'm very familiar with Arkansas Early Learning. They do fantastic work focused on Head Start programs and giving under-resourced children an opportunity to reach their potential.
That's awesome. I want to shift what I think is so neat. And even before this, I was doing some research on the organization. We're going to talk about this term product philanthropy. And what I think is amazing so far, I'm going to give you the floor here in a second, right? But from what I can tell, and maybe this video is a little old, so to speak, so your impact may be beyond this, but it sounds like you've distributed over $9 billion in product or impact. Does that figure sound about right?
Yeah, that is correct. It's actually over $10 billion now, but no big deal.
Yeah. So tell us, let me take it back. So Matt, tell us, what is Good360? What's your mission and what does product philanthropy mean?
Yeah, well, thank you, Stephen. Good360 is the global leader in product philanthropy and purposeful giving. We work with donors to provide cost-effective and responsible solutions for their excess product, and we distribute those highly needed goods through a network of 90,000 nonprofits.
That's amazing. So can you break it down or give some examples on the corporate side and then the nonprofit side of just a tangible example of like a company you would engage with and then the, you know, end result in working with the nonprofit?
Yeah. Yeah. Advance Auto is a very good example. Advance Auto and CarQuest, they merged, a year or two ago and we created a program with them called Driving Hope. And what that is we distribute, we have operating capabilities to pick up from their fulfillment centers and distribution centers and distribute their excess product to not only nonprofits, but nonprofits that specialize in two things. One is training the auto mechanics of tomorrow. So those are vocational nonprofits or vocational schools, and also nonprofits that provide subsidized repairs for transportation for people that are economically under-resourced and need that transportation to get employment. So that's a really cool program right there. We also work closely with a number of other corporate entities that I give you examples on, but one is Walmart. We have matched 2,000 Walmart stores with local nonprofits. Those nonprofits are partnered and aligned with the store. And for goods that would have been otherwise either put in a landfill or had to be transported back to a return center, those goods are given away to the nonprofit, and that nonprofit is able to use those goods in the community. The benefit is the carbon footprint is less transportation cost of having to move these goods back to a central origin, a central node or return center. Also keeping it out of a landfill, and it provides support to a local nonprofit that the Walmart store services and provides employee engagement opportunities with that nonprofit as well. So those are two examples of programs that are impactful and impactful in a circular manner. That's where the Good 360 came from, where there's multiple winners with the engagement.
I love it. This is super exciting. Anytime that I come across, first of all, congratulations to you and to obviously your team, your board, all of your supporters. It's really amazing what you've been able to do. There are so many concepts in the philanthropic space, whether those are nonprofit organizations, specifically like Good 360, creating models of innovation in philanthropy, as you guys have done with product philanthropy. And then there are a ton of, we're set up as a public benefit corporation, nonprofits or social ventures like our model, where we're trying to do something in the nonprofit space.
Yeah.
And there's been a lot of tries like all across the board, but there are very few things that have really scaled to make an impact. And you're talking about working with, correct me if I'm wrong, but about 75,000 organizations, over $10 billion. You all have not only created and put a concept into market years ago, but scaled it to make a tremendous impact. And that is extremely rare, right? I mean, when I think about the philanthropic world as a whole, and I think about, the creation back, going back to JP Morgan Chase and like creation of foundations and why individuals give, why corporations give, how individuals give, how corporations give, it's actually very hard to change behavior, right? And just a lot of, giving is done today. When you look at it macro, like of all the hundreds of billions of dollars just in the US that flow to nonprofits in very tried and true ways. And then to have a model that's now gotten to this $10 billion is incredible. And I'm going on, I'm going to give you the floor back. But what I think is really smart about what you all have done is you've met the corporations where they are and you've matched that to a need that the nonprofits have, right? I think a lot of corporations are used to just, which is okay. And that's a lot of the world too, nonprofits reaching out saying, hey, we have this program. Would you sponsor it? Would you donate money? But you've created a way to really meet these companies where they're at. Like, I went on and on about that, but can you talk about that, this new model and sort of your just take on the value add that it brings across this ecosystem from company to organization, and then ultimately, the end beneficiary?
Yeah, I give a lot of credit to the Good 360 board. They were very thoughtful and fortuitous in hindsight, where they understood this term in Phenom called reverse logistics. Reverse logistics is a sexy term for returns. Yeah, returns went from being a nuisance to being an expensive nuisance to being a major differential. And the driver that was e-commerce, when your parents shop, Stephen, the burden of the return was on them. One is it was less likely to be a return because they touched it and tried it on and accepted it. And then if they were going to have to return that product, they would have to bring it back themselves physically to the store. Now in e-commerce, people buy a multitude of things with the understanding that they're going to return a subset of that sometimes. And the burden of the return.
What I ran out. Shout out to my girlfriend. We had some things. We had a break in the day, so we used our lunch break to return a few things at Lululemon.
This great product. They're actually a great donor partner of ours too.
And awesome. We'll shout out to them as well.
Yeah. They're, I think I wore Lululemon more often than any other clothing article during this pandemic, but, the board was built, they understood where this phenom was going and guided Good 360 to build operating capabilities that, were able to be functional and relevant and work for some of the largest, most complex supply chains in the world. Specifically the Amazons, the Nikes, the Walmarts, the Bed Bath and Beyonds, the Lululemons. And, you know, these capabilities come in a lot of flavors. I touched on, you know, what we call our retail match program, but we also have the ability to service our larger nonprofits. We have 90,000 nonprofits in our network, as I mentioned. They go through a vetting and scrutinization process. But we have 100 of our largest nonprofits that have operating capabilities to accept full truckloads of multi-SKU product, that they're able to receive large quantities of product and have the storage space to distribute them effectively. They go through additional vetting and screening. We've also invested heavily in our e-commerce website so smaller nonprofits can have access to the product they need at the carton level. So the board gets a lot of credit for building out our operating capabilities to provide some business solutions for our donor partners, as well as investing in technology. We've invested heavily in a CRM, specifically Salesforce.com, where all of our 90,000 nonprofits are cataloged, and we understand their mission. We understand their size, their mission, their scope. That allows us to come up with the most cost-effective solution to route product, where we're taking it less distance and keeping it as local as much as possible. It allows us to know how much quantity they can take, so we don't have a compliance issue where they might have too much product. But the third is also understanding what their mission is. So we're able to get more specific as time goes on to really pinpoint the impact that the donor is looking to make. That could be homelessness for veterans. It could be Native American causes. It could be racial equality. And having those capabilities for when the pandemic hit were really beneficial for extreme accelerated growth last year. To get it into context, Stephen, Good360 distributed $330 million of fair market value product in 2019. And last year was well over $700 million. The reason for that double growth was that the capabilities and the structure was there to be able to deal with excess product and company supply chains, which occurred quite a bit last year due to the pandemic disruption. It could have been a winter launch that didn't fully sell, or a spring launch that never launched at all. And we were able to provide the next best use for those products. And it's been an exciting year. You know, the value for the donors is three-pronged. One is they get compliance. They get assurance that the product that they trust with Good360 goes to a nonprofit that right. will do an impact with it. They're eligible to get an enhanced tax write-off if that is attractive to them. Sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. And the third is they get assurance that there's not going to be brand dilution, you know, AKA winding up on a secondary market or a gray market that undercuts their normal flow of their product.
That's amazing. So I know before you started leading the organization, you were on the board for about 8 years. Is that right?
Oh, correct. Yes, you've done your homework, Stephen.
Just
yes.
A little bit. I'm better at this than I was in school on doing my homework. So talk to me about where was the organization 8 years ago? Because what's really fascinating me is that I am a creative person. I am an entrepreneur. I can be impulsive, you know, which can be good. I mean, there's good traits, whatever. But what I've come to appreciate is, as I've grown Charity Charge, is the need for systems, processes. I mean, look, we use Salesforce as well. And everyone was talking about Salesforce, like you need a CRM, all that. And then once we started using it, I finally understood the power of it. It took me honestly like 6 months to really realize, hey, this is a real thing. But we run the whole, you know, all the operations back end off of it, customized it, you know, to the umpteenth degree. And a lot of, you know, what we're chatting about, I hope that this conversation is helpful to organizations that we work with that are earlier on and trying to figure out how to get to that next level. And I just found that obviously, I mean, it starts with the people, as you talk about the board itself, but putting into place these processes and stuff. Can you take us back? Where was the organization 8 years ago, if you think about when you first got engaged?
Yeah, 8 years ago, the organization had a different name. It was called Gifts in Kind International. It was very manual. Yeah, everything was done. Probably not even spreadsheets, ledgers. Yeah, was probably the manual processes that I remember.
I used to have a whiteboard. Don't worry, that's where we are. Right.
But the big difference, and it was a bold bet by the organization then, and I give the CEO at the time, Cindy Halberlin, a ton of credit, was at that time, the model charged nonprofits an annual dues to be part of our network. And what was happening was the enrollment was going down each year because the value that the nonprofits were deriving from their fees, they didn't feel like that was a good investment. So Cindy, with the board approval and board alignment, made the bold bet to do away with the fees for nonprofit. So basically saying, hey, we're going to scrap, I think it was 30% of our revenue at the time, of our operating budget, and say, hey, this is not working. You know, we need to make it so it's free to join our network, and anybody can join our network as long as they're a 501c3 and a reputable charity, but we're not going to charge them an annual fee. That decision was made at a very precarious time for the organization. And subsequently, that is when we launched our first website, our first e-commerce site and platform. It did the trick at the time. It was certainly primitive looking back on it, but it was functional, and it started us down our journey of technology, which, I wouldn't say culminated, but a milestone last year in the fourth quarter was we replatformed our e-commerce site with a better new version and functionality mm-hmm. on it. But very manual 8 years ago, and a 100% different model, both in name and branding, but also on how the revenues are derived to support the nonprofit endeavor. And again, I give the board a ton of credit at that time. It was a courageous decision, and Cindy Halberlin was the person that galvanized us to understand that the current trajectory was not going to end well. Eventually, it could have been 5 years, it could have been 7 years, and she believed that now is the time for the bold bet to scrap the membership fee model for the nonprofits to be part of our network.
What were some of, it looks like your background prior to this, you personally had a career at UPS, is that right?
Correct.
So what, when you think about, I'm sure there's many, but at a high level, what were some of the things that you learned from your career and your experience at UPS that were either best practices or innovative things that you've brought over to Good 360?
Yeah, well, I'm very fortunate, as you point out, Stephen.
Do you mind if I jump? Just even like, sure. I think a lot of people don't, we hear this term logistics, but people don't really understand what that means. So not saying literally define the word logistics, but yeah, like just walking through kind of the average person that's never had a career in logistics or something. I mean, I think of UPS, it's like unbelievable. You know, I order something and then it shows up and now I get tracking information. I have the app. It's unbelievable. But so yeah, just walk us through any kind of high level of your experience at UPS and how that's transformed some of the things you guys are doing now.
Yeah, I can touch on the operational piece and the supply chain piece, but I'd like to hit on first is the values. UPS teaches their team. And you don't work at UPS if you don't have values and integrity and play the long game. I mean, UPS has been around since 1907. So for a company to be around since 1907, they need to have a high degree of integrity. They need to play the long game. They need to get employee engagement. And those are all things that, there you go.
Could be great, right?
It sure is.
Yeah.
Great book, Stephen. But I think those things are the most valuable from my experience here. The operational stuff's really neat too. And I can touch on that, but terms like constructively dissatisfied, honesty of purpose, those things, those cultural tenets fit very well with the Good 360 culture. And you know, this year a big push is increasing nonprofit satisfaction. Our North Star at Good360 is that any nonprofit that has an engagement with Good360, they feel like they got tremendous value from that transaction. So to your point, again, is we're using our CRM added functionality to get better resolution of case management, you know, better responsiveness to concerns, better cataloging of concerns, so we can go upstream and address root cause issues in a better fashion, but also make it right. You know, and that's going to be, this is a big part of our initiative this year, that you know, if someone's not satisfied, you know, our people are empowered to make it right. And that could be, you know, refund of a fee for shipping and handling. It could be a number of things, but those kind of tenets and cultural norms at UPS meshed very well with the existing culture of Good360 and really kind of accelerated. As far as the operational piece, when I retired from UPS in June of 2019, and my predecessor was also retiring at Good360, you know, the board thought it would be very good timing to have a different perspective coming in, someone that could build out the operating capabilities further. Because as mentioned before, these, you know, blue chip companies that we work with, you know, we've got to be on our A game, right? They're not going to, you know, work with an entity that can't mesh with their processes, can't execute to their commitments. You know, Good360's talent base is just amazing. And that's probably my biggest, enjoyment and understanding in the past 18 months as CEO is just the quality of the talent that's both on the leadership team of Good360, who all come from a commercial background, as well as you know, the entire group is just extraordinary skills and passion and commitment, and that's our differential. That's our secret sauce, is our people, and that's similar for UPS. You know, at UPS, the differential wasn't me. It was, you know, the differential's the driver. You know, her or him coming to the front door, or you know, her or him, you know, processing packages in a sorting facility during challenging times during a pandemic. Those are the people that matter.
It's one thing, and this is a learning for me and other organizations. First of all, I want to commend, I think it's so awesome, your response, because I asked a specific question about logistics, more of just the what, sort of the nitty gritty. And you were sort of, your response, which I love, was, yeah, that's an element of it, but let's go to something more important, the people, the values. That's awesome. I really think it's so cool how you heard my question, but you really heard it, and you went to something that was more impactful and meaningful to you. One of the things that I found really challenging as a throughout, you know, the past year and working remote, et cetera, is how do we create, maintain, grow culture when we can't be together? You know, compared to your organization, certainly from a staff headcount, we're much smaller. We're about a team of six here at Charity Charge. And it's been challenging, right? Trying to figure out, because before this, we could go, we would be at events, or we'd go get happy hour, or, you know, just do fun stuff like that. So just anything coming top of mind that as an organization, as you guys went remote, or at least partly remote, that you knew or innovative things that you all did to sort of keep that employee culture, morale, and values consistent?
Yeah, you're I could tell you're, not to sound patronizing, you're a great leader too, right? To kind of think through that of how to, how to not lose something that's so important but is intangible. Mm-hmm. I think what most people have seen, that in the short term, going to a virtual environment, the efficiency rates increase because people aren't wasting time driving to work and things like that. But there's medium and longer term ramifications that are a little harder to quantify and a little harder to pin down. But as far as Good 360 goes, it's been an evolution of trying to figure that out, and that we're still working on, quite frankly, because when you look at it, you know, when the pandemic began, you know, in earnest, you know, the pandemic obviously was impactful in Asia in Q4 of 2019 and Q1 of 2019, then certainly in Europe and Northern Italy. But in March, it really kind of came home to roost. And I think I'll always remember that day poignantly when, you know, the first kind of big shoe to drop was the NBA, you know, Silver, Commissioner Silver canceled the NBA season. Right. And then I think that was on a Wednesday, and by Friday, everything followed suit. And like the, you know, the world was in a, is in a different tilt. And then, you know, I did not believe that, you know, that the pandemic would continue and go on as long as what it did, like most people did. But initially early on, we managed it quite well, which was a balancing act of going to a virtual environment for the functions that could go virtual, which is a lot of them. But also, you know, we physically move goods. We move cartons, we move pallets, you know, that we have, you know, a portion of our workforce that that needed to physically work. And if they didn't physically work, then nonprofits weren't going to get, you know, the needed goods. And at the time it was PPE. You know, as Stephen, as you may know, we, out of that 700 million number last year, 250 million of it was specifically around COVID relief. And early on it was PPE. And then it, as the pandemic continued, you know, PPE was still very relevant and distributed often, which is still today, but also other goods to help with the economic impact of the pandemic. But we had to have almost like, you know, work two protocols at once, you know, move to a virtual environment, as well as have strong office protocols for people that did need to go into the office. Mm-hmm. But most importantly, we're very thankful and appreciative of the folks that didn't have that luxury and opportunity. And I think I've said it on probably, if not five internal calls, maybe seven, to, you know, thank him or her that is not able to work virtually. You know, the healthcare workers, you know, delivery workers, supermarket workers. And so we put processes in for both. But now that we're gonna be working in a higher degree of virtuality than we were before the pandemic, even when vaccines are distributed and it's safe to do so, we're gonna be more virtual than we were before. We gotta continue to find ways to keep the culture intact, keep the engagement intact, the collaboration intact. You know, there's two areas in my mind that you could lose ground on. One is a strategic element. You know, that is you walking down the corridor and getting in and whiteboarding out a new idea and kind of having an ad hoc strategy meeting without setting up a Zoom meeting, right? Or talking to someone on the way in to you know, walking down the hall to get a cup of tea and you solve a problem with somebody you bump into on the fly without having to set up a 25-minute Microsoft Teams meeting, right? That, you know, we put in protocols in place where we made meetings no more than 50 minutes. If it was an hour meeting, no more than 50. If it was a half hour meeting, no more than 25, to give people less burnout of going Zoom to Zoom to Zoom. We made Thursday afternoons no Zoom, no video meetings, so people can, it's still a work day, but encourage people to pick up the phone and talk to each other. They don't need a business purpose. The other is around culture, right? And chemistry and camaraderie, and we continue to explore ways to do that. One of our leaders at Good 360, Michael Price, you know, hosted a virtual holiday party that was a lot of fun, where he distributed out gift baskets with non-alcoholic wine and a red and a white, along with other foods from local restaurants in Alexandria. And he brought in a sommelier, and so little different things to, you know, bring people together in an informal manner, you know, leveraging some of the technologies. And, you know, we'll continue to explore different ways to, you know, on that business side of the house, as I mentioned, but also the the chemistry and the personal engagement side, but it's a little bit of a work in progress. And I agree with you, Stephen. It's something that you won't know it impacts you until it impacts you. And when it impacts you, it's going to be big if you don't find ways to limit, you know, that in this, this virtual environment. Sorry for the long answer, Stephen.
No, I'm taking it all in, but I think it's awesome. I really appreciate, you know, your realness and your rawness about being proactive about doing things differently, but also being realistic about some of the challenges and what you miss out on, you know, not having it. And so, like, I think it's important to just see things for as they are, and then figure out how to compensate. And if you can't, recognizing that sometimes you just can't. I want to jump. So we work with, you know, somewhere north of 1,000 nonprofits. And for those that are listening that maybe are interested in being a part of this, I know you mentioned for them to join, it's free, but do you mind walking through how a new organization that's learning about Good 360 for the first time could get engaged and sort of what they might expect in terms of from what sign up to ultimately potentially receiving product?
Yeah. You know, out of our network of 90,000 nonprofits, there's a number of different tiers and categories. You know, as nonprofits either grow by themselves or grow with a relationship with Good 360, they can move up. But, you know, joining the network initially is very straightforward. And if it's not, they can certainly let me know because we want to make sure it's that way. But good360.org, you know, go on, put in your information. There's no fee. If they have a federal EIN number or a 501c3, usually that approval is less than 24 hours. And if they're a, you know, faith-based nonprofit that is not a 501c3, it might take a few more days. Mm-hmm. But joining the network is relatively straightforward. You know, one thing that you know, nonprofits need to understand before they you know, have a perception or expectation gap is our model is supported by two prongs. One is a fee-based model where you know, the fee for the product they receive is, you know, generally, you know, 1 to 2 to 3 cents to the fair market value dollar of the product. But there is a fee for shipping and handling and for investment in the business, yeah, to increase the value proposition for them. Also, we also move product that is underwritten by cash grants. For example, we receive cash grants around disasters. You know, unfortunately, it's a little known fact that, you know, a lot of product that gets given during disasters gets thrown out or is gums up the works a little bit. And it's because people are well-intentioned and might be sending product at the wrong time, the wrong quantity, or what's not needed. We've been able to really craft a strong niche in regards to providing the right product at the right time throughout the long tail of a disaster recovery. Other entities like an American Red Cross, or, you know, Salvation Army, they do a fantastic job on disaster response, you know, temporary housing, you know, bottled water, things like that, where we really, you know, excel in is during the recovery. And that recovery could be, you know, hygiene kits initially, and then move to building supplies to help repair homes, to furniture, you know, to household goods, et cetera. So we do receive grants for specific causes. Disaster would be one of them. Native American is an area that we're really kind of honed in on because that's a national disgrace, and veterans homelessness. So our commitment to our cash donors is for every dollar that they give, you know, we're able to deliver at least 15x of product, of value of product. And not only is the value important, but it's the right product in the right quantity at the right time to deliver the impact. So for joining our nonprofit network, it's free to join. To get the product, it comes in two forms. It's either underwritten by a grant where there'd be no charge, but if there's not a grant around the mission, then there's a fee associated to it. And then we work real hard to drive down those fees. We're obviously a nonprofit, so there's no shareholders or dividends. But what we do is, and this is where logistics comes in right here, Stephen, is the movement of product is huge. You know, how you grade the product, put it into categories, how you transport it. Someone's paying for that. Either the donor is, or Good360 is, or the nonprofit is, and excess or inefficiencies aren't allowed. So we put in a lot of operational tools. That's bidding tools for getting the best truckload rate or the best LTL rate. We negotiate well and have controls in place to manage our parcel contracts to make sure that we understand surcharges. We've set up regional operating centers to reduce the length of haul for product, either coming from a donor, but also to destination. And we are constructively dissatisfied of our operating capabilities to drive down costs to provide the best value to the nonprofits who are either paying a fee or for a donor that's underwriting a specific area of impact that they're passionate about with dollars.
This is unbelievable. That's so cool. I love the model, and it's amazing how advanced the organization has become, obviously with a lot of experience, trial and error, many years at this, but all of the points that you just touched on it's fascinating to me. I mean, sort of the closest thing that I would have known about, which you may be able to resonate with or understand, a bit, would just be the food bank model, where they'll take in, so to speak, in-kind or surplus food inventory. And a lot of their cost structure is just based on the logistics of storing that food and delivering that food to the end, soup kitchen or, place of distribution. But so your model, I'm just trying to wrap my head around it, but it's fascinating.
Yeah, you're right there, Stephen. And an analogy that where I think you were going was, when you look at it, United Way is the conduit for in-kind financial giving. Mm-hmm. Feeding America is the conduit for in-kind food donations. Mm-hmm. And Good360 is the in-kind conduit for product giving. It's a good analogy, you bringing up, a Feeding America, which is a fantastic organization that is really trying to address food security. Mm-hmm. But their model is similar to ours, with them specializing in food and Good360 specializing in product. So I think your analogy was spot on.
Awesome. Tell me about, let's go to the other side of it, which is businesses. So if businesses are interested in joining, how would that process, sort of play out? Can you talk through that a little bit in a little bit of practicality for a business joining?
Yeah, we have a very accomplished, I call them probably solutions executives. Mm-hmm. I think probably in the commercial world, they'd be called sales executives. Mm-hmm. That we have, donor development people, mm-hmm. that are experienced with working with companies and solving problems in their supply chain, helping them with their sustainability goals, et cetera. But as far as donors reaching out to us, they can certainly go to our website, good360.org, and we'll respond back quickly with one of our skilled executives that, are adept and adroit at getting an understanding of what the company's pinch points are and coming up with cost-effective and responsible solutions for their excess product.
Awesome.
One thing I didn't do justice in, Stephen, earlier is you asked about some specific nonprofit engagements, and I can maybe touch on two if we have enough time.
Oh, please, yes.
Yeah, great. We work obviously very well with nonprofits because that's our constituents and models, but two significant ones that are pandemic related that both started just last year, probably both relationships are, the first one I'm going to talk about with Toys for Tots, that relationship started in March last year. Toys for Tots, as you're aware of, they traditionally have been a holiday model for toys distribution to children that are in economically under-resourced areas and do fantastic work. I think they deliver close to 20 million toys, books, and games each holiday season. That vast network is supported by volunteers and agents that are stood up at the holiday season. General Laster, who's the CEO of Toys for Tots, did not want to wait till Christmas to provide relief to children. He knew what children were going through at the time with being thrust into a virtual education environment, with maybe not having the tools, whether it be Wi-Fi or a tablet to participate effectively in a virtual learning environment, or have a parent or two parents that were economically impacted by the pandemic, that General Laster came to Good360 and we partnered where we used our network of 90,000 nonprofits to distribute 2 million toys, books, and games in April, which was really special. That partnership continues where we also provided distribution services through our nonprofit network to areas of the country that he didn't have density. Mm-hmm. Pretty sophisticated entity, has a heat map of where his toys are being distributed, and he wants to distribute toys for all children and from all backgrounds. And we were able to fill in and add to their distribution capability this holiday season as well. And we're going to be working with him for another non-holiday event this year. The other partnership, which was COVID related, was with UNHCR US, UNHCR, United Nations High Commission of Refugees. We partnered with them and GAP. GAP is what brought us two together, where Good360 received 11 million items of brand new clothing. And we picked that up and consolidated that in a central warehouse. And we executed to UNHCR specification to sort the clothing into, I think it was 27 different categories by gender, size, climate, and also removing clothing that could be viewed as culturally offensive or insensitive, and sorted, scanned, and bailed that product. And that product went overseas to three areas that made a huge impact. One being Burkina Faso and the Sahel of Africa. The second was Lebanon after that disaster, the explosion at the port, and just recently to Armenia. So that partnership was derived out of COVID and continues today. And we're going to continue to partner with UNHCR and executing to their operating specifications so that, we can support refugees that have been displaced due to turmoil.
It's amazing. I mean, you're really doing it. I think it's amazing. There's so many organizations across the country and that are doing amazing work on all different levels and at all different scales, but your impact and your reach globally, I'm really inspired by your model. I think it's awesome. I haven't gotten this excited in a while. I think it's really it's a game changer. And I just love how you're bringing and creating value for both sides of it, which is really compelling. So great job,
Stephen. And I look forward to, working closer with your organization and meeting you in person. And we'll do that as soon as possible, as soon as it's safe to do so.
I'd love to do that as well. I want to ask you, as we close this out, coming back to you, well, there'll be another question, which is just getting to how organizations or companies can find you, get involved. But obviously you were on the board for approximately 8 years and had been working, as we touched on, in the logistics with UPS prior to switching over to full-time position at Good360. Can you talk about, just on a personal level, the satisfaction potentially that you're getting out of this role and how that might compare to just the experience you had working in the for-profit world? And And sort of part of why I'm trying to say it is one of the patterns that I've seen a lot, and it's true with a lot of the organizations we work with, is that I found that a lot of the individuals running organizations now had really built their experience in the for-profit world. And then, you know, at age 40, 50, 60, transitioned to start leading a nonprofit organization. But with that all being said, yeah, can you just talk about a little bit of that difference and what level of self-satisfaction you're deriving out of it?
Yeah. It's, you know, it's important to, I forget the exact saying, but it's a, for much that has been bestowed on individuals, much is expected. Right. And I know I botched it, but I know you understand the intent.
Oh, I gotcha. It sounds like it's a Superman or a Spider-Man, right? Like,
yeah,
great.
Yeah. You know, and, you know, I'm very appreciative of the privilege that, that has been the privilege and the opportunity that's been bestowed on me, over the years, and to leverage that expertise to make a larger impact in society is tremendously rewarding. And it's also been challenging, but challenging in a very constructive way, challenging in a growth way. Working for a very large organization with over 400,000 people and you know, north of $70 billion in revenue, to go to being CEO of a nimble, purpose-driven organization was just really energizing and also educational. You know, when you work for a large organization, you know, there's a lot of infrastructure around you, right, to kind of support you, right? There's a lot of, you know, subject matter expertise, right? You know, being a leader of a nimble, energetic workforce, you've got to be multifaceted. You know, you got to stair step growth better. You got to understand scale better. You know, the burden of responsibility starts and ends with you. There's no other person that you can look at in the C-suite. So those were all things that were challenging and exciting. And the other learning I have was, you know, someone told me once I started to get a feel for it, you know, 3 or 4 months in, that, you know, they shouldn't call it nonprofit. They should call it not for loss. You know, running a nonprofit is, you know, more difficult than running a commercial endeavor on two reasons. One is, you know, being a CEO or a board member of a commercial entity, you're representing shareholders or investors, right? So investors are intuitively, you know, betting money, right, to make more money, right? When you're representing a nonprofit, either as a CEO or board member, you're representing donors. And with that, it's an expectation. You know, they're giving you money for an expectation of an outcome. And that is much more responsibility, in my opinion. Yeah. Investors, between, you know, representing an expectation on a social impact is huge. The other dynamic, which I was starting with, was you don't have access to capital markets. Yeah, you can't do an ownership dilution and offer more stock to raise money. I don't think there's many banks out there willing to you know, lend money to. Apologize for that. I don't think there's many banks out there. So your entities are fantastic to lend money to a nonprofit that's not showing positive operating leverage. You can't issue bonds. So
you need a phenomenal point. Yeah, keep going. But
yeah, you need a lot more skill. You need a lot more skill to be able to manage your financial foundation in a way without having access to safety nets that a commercial organization has.
That is the most thought out or just well articulated answer I've ever heard. That's amazing. Yeah, totally get it. Totally get it. What a great way to compare and contrast the challenge is the wrong word, but the what can make it candidly just objectively more difficult to run the organization. I love that profit, not for loss. statement. I hadn't heard that term before. So credit to your friend or who had shared that. Matt, as we wrap up this interview, I'll just plug and make sure people know that your URL is good360.org. So that's good360.org. Any other ways that you maybe want to mention people could get involved or individuals or any sort of mention that you'd like to make?
Yeah. I think, one area that, we're pivoting our model to is to really be able to focus on purpose-driven initiatives. We talked about before getting better visibility to what our nonprofit's mission is, that if people have a particular area of impact, whether that be racial equality or rural poverty, we'll be able to really hone in on that area of purpose and make the desired impact that the person's looking to make. So I just want to maybe add that in there, Stephen, that we're excited about being able to be more analytical in regards to how our impact is being made and being able to provide the quantitative feedback to that in ways that our donors deserve.
That's awesome. Yeah, I mean, I'm even thinking of, obviously, it's a really great point. I mean, and I bring it up just of everything that's happened, for example, with the Black Lives Matter movement, right? And there's a lot of organizations I think about just coming top of mind, like Netflix pledging $100 million, right? Or $100 million in impact. And I don't know that they're going to donate DVDs or what, but like the fact that you could be nimble enough to, so to speak, customize solutions for the corporations and match what they're looking to do is obviously super smart. So that's terrific.
And that goes for individuals and foundations too. On our platform, good360.org, there's opportunities for not just donations to make that type of particular impact, but also individuals and foundations.
Awesome. Well, Matt, thank you so much for being my guest. This was really a distinct pleasure. For everyone listening, again, this was an interview with Matthew Connolly, the CEO of the not-for-loss Good 360 nonprofit organization, I should say. Thank you so much, Matt.
Thank you for having me, Stephen. I really enjoyed our conversation.